Well, good evening, everyone. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and I hope that you'll stick by until the top of the hour at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we begin our TIN this evening for this month. And the topic is TIN Digital. Gordon KY6V along with NO70 and W4RFJ will be our Masters of Ceremony. So please join us at the top of the hour. Well, good evening once again, everyone. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and this is SouthCars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the SouthCars organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97, Angered Amateur Practice. This SouthCars server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System, provided by Kilo Bravo 8, Zulu Golf Lima, and all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off the system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all, short-time stations will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they've checked in. Information regarding our HF operation may be found at www.southcars.com and for this digital operation at www.voip.southcars.com. Well, your net controls actually this evening are Gordon KY6V, assisted by NO70 and W4RFJ. My name is Kathy. My call sign is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and I'm just merely opening it up this evening. I live in the city of Port St. Lucie, South Florida. Not sure of the temperature, but it's been a very beautiful day. So prior to starting, I'd like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled at this time. If so, please come aboard. Well, that's great news, not hearing any emergency traffic. How about anyone celebrating their birthday last week, this week, or maybe this upcoming week that would like to come aboard so we could say happy, happy birthday? All right. Like I always said, that means we're not getting any older. We're staying nice, young chickens. Well, good evening once again, everyone. This is the TIN Open Forum. This is the monthly Thursday Informational Net Open Forum, or TIN for short. This net is conducted to provide information pursuant to amateur-related subjects and other areas of general interest to those participating. All are encouraged to participate and ask questions of our guest speaker or speakers. Our topic this evening is digital, TIN digital, and I'm going to turn it over to one of the speakers this evening, KY6V. I hope that you're all ready for a fantastic evening. I'm going to turn it your direction, and thanks for allowing me to open up the session. KY6V from Kilo 6 Sierra United November.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Sunshine. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Gordon here, KY6V, and I'm going to be joined by, we're forming a trio this evening, by W4RFJ and NO70, and we're going to put together the package for this evening's TIN. Tonight, our discussion will be on the use of popular HF digital programs and how they can also be used on the Internet via the VOIP protocol. For starters, we'll be talking about PSK31 phase shift keying, MFSK16 multi-frequency shift keying, RTTY radio teletype, and CW in an automated form called continuous wave. It is not our intent this evening to go into the deep technical differences of each of these protocols, but we'll say that each on their own are interesting, diverse, and effective. For a quick overview, let's look at the four programs we have picked for this evening. Under PSK31 phase shift keying, that's 31 baud, is a popular computer sound card generated radio teletype mode. It's used primarily by amateur radio operators to conduct real-time keyboard-to-keyboard chat, most often using frequencies in the high-frequency amateur radio bands. That's near shortwave. And PSK31 is distinguished from other digital modes in that it is specifically tuned to have a data rate close to typing speed. And as an extremely narrow bandwidth, allowing many conversations in the same bandwidth as a signal voice channel. Think about that one. Some interesting stuff here for the SCARS server. This narrow bandwidth also concentrates the RF energy in a very narrow bandwidth, allowing relatively low power equipment, such as 25 watts, to communicate globally using the same skywave propagation used by shortwave radio stations. Instead of the traditional frequency shift keying, the information is transmitted by patterns of polarity reversal. And this is sometimes called 180-degree phase shift.
Well, while we wait for him to figure out that he timed out, everybody stand by for a minute. This is W4RFJ. You timed out, Gordon.
No, I didn't think so. I said, please stand by as I rejuvenate the timers. Did I miss something before that?
Yeah, you've been timed out. Heck, I lost track of where you were, but it's been for a bit.
Okay. George, can you tell me where I timed out? Apparently my clock was not correct because I was coming up on the timeout. George, do you know where I left off?
KY67net in a 70. Gordon, could you please resume with the paragraph labeled MFSK16? You were able to complete the sentence about 180-degree phase shifts, but all was lost after that. So MFSK16, and hey, that's a good spot to pick back up with, isn't it? KY6V, NI70, over to you, sir.
Okay. Thanks, George. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen. I'll pick up at MFSK16 protocol. That stands for Multiple Frequency Shift Keying and is a variation of Frequency Shift Keying, FSK. And it uses more than two frequencies. MFSK is a form of Mary orthogonal modulation, where each symbol consists of one element from an alphabet of orthogonal waveforms. The size of the waveform or alphabet is usually a power of 2, so that each symbol represents log 2 times the M designator for the waveform file, and that's in bits. So speaking more simplistically, this protocol greatly improves the transmission and reception during fading and Doppler effects and is also very effective in transmission of pitches, both color and black and white. Now, I'm going to take a recharge on the timer, get myself back into sync. We're going to talk on RTTY next, and RTTY has a typical baud rate for amateur operation of 45.45 baud. Now that's approximately 60 words per minute. If it remains popular as a keyboard-to-keyboard mode in amateur radio, and RTTY has declined in commercial popularity as faster and more reliable alternative data modes have become available using satellites and other connections. For its transmission speed, RTTY has a low spectral efficiency. The typical RTTY signal with 170 Hz shift at 45.45 baud requires around 250 Hz receiver bandwidth. And that's about over double the required PSK 31. Standby one. I've been fighting a little bit of sinus problems here today, and it's getting a little froggy in my throat. So I apologize for that. In theory, at this baud rate, the shift size can be decreased to 22.725 hertz, reducing the overall band footprint substantially, because RTTY uses either AFSK or FSK modulation, produces a waveform with constant power. A transmitter does not need to use a linear amplifier, which is required for many of the digital transmission modes. A more efficient Class C amplifier can be used. RTTY, using either AFSK or FSK modulation, is moderately resistant to conditions of HF propagation and interference. However, modern digital modes such as MFSK use forward error correction to provide much better data reliability. I'm going to hit that timer again and take a sip of water for this froggy condition I'm in. CW, let's talk about that. I would think that all of us are familiar with the CW concept. In the digital world, there is a software available that allows you to type from computer keyboard, have that text converted to Morse code, received on the other end and decoded back to regular text on your computer monitor. With this, you have the option to set the speed of your preference. Now, let me tell you a quick story. My father was a crackerjack CW operator. He could send and receive at about 80 words a minute, and he used a Viberplex key. One day, he called CQ and was answered by someone sending at about 80 words a minute. He responded with a normal greeting and was quickly told that the other station could not copy his FIST. Well, the long and the short of this was that other stations were using a computer-based CW program, and the computer program could not copy my father's Navy swing. This story just goes on to say that these automatic programs have no way to copy the personality of the sender. And if they are using a straight key or a speed key, that is not a keyer, that condition will happen. How about some check-ins at this point? Any questions or comments, please? KY6V.
NO70.
RMO.
Hey, there is the voice from the past. Hello, Gary. Go ahead, sir, and welcome.
Hey, thank you. Hi, Gordon. Hi, Kathy. Hello, everybody. This is KC2RMO, and this is kind of a voice from the past, or it's a voice that is past, as you could call it that, too. Great topic tonight. This is one of my favorite topics. I do a lot of digital work, and the thing I want to just point out the first time around here is not, you know, we're just scanning the tip of the iceberg with the four modes that Gordon has talked about. There are just tons and tons and tons of digital modes out there. And, one of the popular ones that I like to play around with is something called JT65, which is a marvelous low-power mode. But we'll be getting more and more into this, I'm sure, as the tin develops tonight. But just checking in to get things started and say hello to everyone. And, oh, by the way, yeah, I did have a birthday this week. So so I guess I missed it on the preamble, but that's okay. So we'll go back to that. This is KC2RMO.
Hey, dude. My goodness gracious. Happy birthday, senor. And I'll tell you what, your voice is really sounding 150% better than last time that we heard your voice. You know what, what's the prognostication on that? I'll bet you're going to be singing tenor here pretty quick, over.
I wish. I just went to the doctor's yesterday, and the news wasn't that good. They took a look. The left side of my vocal cords is paralyzed, and they there's two conditions. One is if you have scar tissue, and they can fix that. But this has nerve damage, and about the only thing we can do is to do some speech therapy. Maybe that will give me a better shot at what I've got, but it's never going to be back to where it was before. So this is about as good as it's going to get. But hey, I'm alive, I'm kicking, and my voice still works. So, you know, I figure I win. You know, that's all right. So, but it's kind of a sobering experience when you think about it. But I kind of went through all that a couple months ago. So it was kind of just adding some closure to the whole thing, you know. So this is the new KC2RMO. You know, I might do well doing Wolfman Jack imitations. You got the coins, I got the angles. You know, I can do that. But that's about it. So back to the net. This is KC2RMO.
Well, I'm sorry to hear about that prognostication. And this was all Gary, I assume, when they jammed a tube down your throat in the hospital, over?
Yeah. What had happened was they had to intubate me. And I was in a coma for 4 days. And I guess that's a pretty long time to be intubated. So it's not uncommon to have that tube scar the vocal cords. And sometimes, and I would guess because it was the length of the intubation, that it can cause nerve damage. And with me, that's what happened. It kind of looked for a while, you know. Where I think, you know, early on, I tried doing a net here, you know, and it was a lot worse than what you're hearing now. I was kind of making some progress, and then it leveled out to about where we are right now. So where we go from here, I don't know. You know, we can probably improve this a little bit, but essentially this is what I'm going to sound like forever. So, but again, you know, it was a pretty fair bargain. You know, I came out on top, so if this is the price you pay, I guess that's it, you know. Back to the net, KC2RMO.
Well, okay, Gary. Well, thanks for sharing that. We're in your court with you. I was going to comment on some of the things that, you know, Jonathan went through with his automobile accident back in 2006, but we'll touch on that at a different time. Okay, any other comments before we continue with the program, please? KY6V, over.
NO70.
But Gary threw me off.
Okay, we had a little doubling in there. George beat you, Roger, and we just got the tail end about Gary throwing you off. So stand by, and I'll let you re-transmit that. NO70, go ahead, please.
KY6V in the net, NO70. Well, first, hello to Gary. Gosh, it is so good to hear your voice again, Gary. It's been a long time. Happy birthday to you as well. And, you know, the thing is, it's good to have your presence on the back on the net here. It's good to hear that. Gordon, I just wanted to ask for your help in a little clarification. When you were speaking about the RTTY using AFSK or FSK and producing a waveform with constant power, the mention is made that a transmitter does not need to use a linear amplifier, but then the statement follows about a more efficient Class C amplifier may be used. So may I clarify then that what the case is that a power amplifier for the transmitter may be helpful, but that the Class C amplifier, instead of a linear wave amplifier or use as that power amplifier, might be the desire. Let me ask for your clarification, please, Gordon. KY6V, NO70, back to you.
Yeah, okay. Well, I think Roger will, can comment on this also. First of all, with the digital modes that we're talking about tonight, and MFSK16 is included in that group, power is not really necessary and actually can be a handicap. The protocol is such that it'll grab stuff right out of the noise level and decode it for you and keep on trucking. It's just a marvelous system. So you don't need, about 25 watts or thereabouts is really, you can talk the world with it. Now, if you put a linear amplifier on there and you're pumping out 1,500 watts PEP, that's going to work fine, too. But then you're going to start spreading your spectrum. You know, your bandwidth is going to start increasing because of the amplitude of your signal, and you're going to start stepping on guys and gals on both sides of you. So, for that reason, it's something that you should shy away from unless you have a real deficiency in your antenna or something like that. You want to comment on that? And your comment, please, Chief, KY6V, over.
Well, I certainly would like to comment on that. And, Gordon, you're absolutely correct. But I think if you step back and look at your digital modes, because of the duty cycle, that data that's going across, you're going to want to turn your power down anyway. Most of your 100-watt radios, you probably want to turn it down to about 40 watts. That's recommended so that you don't overdrive the current through your finals. So that's probably the biggest rule that you need to follow to begin with. So if you have a 1,000-watt amplifier and you want to use full power, you're probably going to get 300 to 400 watts out of it max because of the duty cycle and the current draw that you have with the data as it's transmitted. And that's pretty much any of the digital modes. So that's something you got to keep a close eye on. Now let me get back to what got me distracted. Now my buddy Gary hasn't been around since Noah was a mess cook. We've missed him for about a full month of Sundays, and it threw me off. I had a thought in my head, something I wanted to talk about. Let me grab a nickel. Okay, I didn't want to time it out. My thought was, Gordon, was that guys like your dad that could do 30-plus, 40-plus words a minute on CW, they're my hero. I mean, that's what kind of got me thinking about getting into ham radio. How could these guys do this? So somebody's texting me here. So anyway, that was my comment. So back over to Net Control. Welcome back, Gary.
Okay, very good. Yeah, I heard your bonger in the background. You be careful, you know. George is going to start picking on you and bong you right back. Send something to you so you go ding ding. Okay, guys and gals, let's move on here. Let's get into phase two of the program, and that's talking about using these HF digital programs via VoIP like we're talking right now. Several of your Southcar's VoIP support team members have been running beta tests on this evening's subject and how they may operate using the Internet VoIP protocol. First, we found many free downloads on the Internet. One that was highly recommended was FL Digi, FLDIGI. The program, again, is free. It's 16.5 megabytes in size. It's easily downloaded and installed. Configuration is easy and fast. You know, all you have to do is put your call in, your name, your location, your grid square, and click save, and you're off and running. Excuse me, hang on. I think that frog decided to jump. The FL Digi program gives one multiple of mode choices to pick from, along with a large amount of baud rates to select from. It offers three display styles, which include waterfall, spectrum analyzer, and an oscilloscope. Nice package. The overall concept that we have been beta testing is quite easy to understand. Let me buy a nickel. All of the programs we have been mentioning use tone frequencies in one way or another. Tones being audible obviously fall in the same spectrum that our normal voice uses. So it goes to say, if we can speak into a microphone and communicate, we can send tones to communicate as well. And believe it or not, in this testing that we've done, we found that you can use your microphone and talk at the same time that you're sending the digital information, and they do not interfere with one another. That is sort of neat. I guess you have to train your ears, listen to one and one on one side, one on the other. Our beta testing to date has been by examining the project by various angles. We first connected our EchoLink system to the EchoLink test server by transmitting the FL Digi program output into the EchoLink program. We found that the recording coming back from Echo Test could be decoded and shown on our computer monitor. We found no weakness in this approach at all. Now, Gary, KC2RMO, and I then connected to each other via a private one-on-one EchoLink connection. We transmitted and received data using first PSK31, then MSK16, followed by Ridian CW. In all cases, we found that the transmitted and received data was handled with high integrity, no errors, and no pitfalls. Let me buy a nickel. Lastly, for this beta test session, we both connected to the SCAR server where we are right now and repeated the test. And I'm happy to report that in all cases, the tests were a shining success. So before we go into the next segment here, how about some questions, comments, or somebody that just wants to say hello? Please call Gordon, KY6V.
KC2RMO, and a quick comment.
Well, I'm sure tickled to have you back, but I've never known you to make a quick comment. Go ahead there, Duffer.
Truer words were never spoke. I just wanted to emphasize one thing. You know, there are just so many programs that you can use to transmit and receive digital modes with. We're talking a lot about FL Digi because that's probably the most comprehensive of the programs. It's kind of like the Swiss Army knife of digital programs, but it covers a lot of modes. I think I'm just guessing. I don't have it open right now, but I think you're probably talking somewhere in the area of about 10 or 12 modes that you can work with on this. In addition to those modes, you also have the capability to do things like send email via radio within those modes. There's a way to send email via PSK31 and probably some of the other modes too, but PSK31 is the more popular way of sending email. It's just great. The one thing I would say is if you download FL Digi, don't let the ugly colors of the interface dissuade you. It's totally customizable. You can actually make it look good. Let me buy a nickel. So you have a lot of flexibility with that. Now, if all you ever want to do is to work PSK31, is a much simpler program. Oh, also before I forget, because I will forget, if you're interested in following up on the ability to send email via radio, there's also another program called RMS Express, which is a dedicated program for that. But if all you're ever interested in doing is working PSK31, there's a wonderful program, very simple, very small, and extremely easy to set up and to work with, called Digipan, DIGIPAN. It's a great program to get yourself introduced to working digital modes. It was, as a matter of fact, that's the way that that I had gotten my feet wet in it. So those are my little 2 cents worth, and I'll throw it back to Lynette. This is KC2RM.
Well, thank you for that, Gary. Quick question on the emails. Is that offloaded to a radio network? Or does it link you back to your own Ethernet cable or ISP, whatever, over?
It's really interesting. I've done it a couple of times. The problem is that it's kind of flaky, but it does work. It can actually do both of those things. You can connect to remote base that in turn has an email server, and it operates just like any other email. Or you can do a peer-to-peer, station-to-station email transmission, which is basically you're doing the digital transmission, but instead of it coming up in the box in your window, it's going in the form of an email. So really interesting, and I guess, and the chief may be able to talk to us about this. I don't know. It is apparently popular with folks that are out to sea. That this is a way that they can send and receive email without infrastructure, which is kind of like, you know, one of the benefits of ham radio. So, but it's fun to play with, and it's not going to say speed records, but it is pretty interesting. And it's just one, and that's the beauty of this whole thing. That is just one of the tons of really great stuff that you can do digitally. It's a fascinating aspect of the hobby. Back to the net, this is KC2RMO.
Okay, very good. Well, I'm familiar, or have been familiar with the on-air email type service, but I didn't know if the program would allow you to get back into your own ISP and send it out that way. All right, thanks, Gary. Anybody else before we continue? KY6A. Okay, moving on. In this next segment, let's talk about tips relative to setting up your system with these digital modes, should you have the hankering to do so. Start by downloading the program of your choice, and again, we've been beta testing the FL Digi, and so far have found that to be an excellent starter. Then configure your new program by entering your call sign, your location, your grid square, etc. That only takes you about a minute to take care of that all. Hit the save button and you're off and running. Then select the mode you want or wish to use. Now we're talking about PSK and MFSK and RIDI and CW and so on tonight, but that, if you're using the FL Digi, they've got a host, as Gary said, of options for you to pick from, different programs, different protocols, I really should say, along with a host of different baud rates for these individual protocol listings. So, you know, lots of place to play around and roam around, I guess. At this point, you'll be making a decision to feed this program to either RF transceiver or to the internet. And we will be talking mainly on the internet side, but if your choice is the RF side, this will involve, just look up, make sure I didn't time out. This will involve some cables. You know, you're going to need a receiver cable, a transmitter audio cable, and then a push-to-talk cable if doing this on the RF side. For the internet, let me buy a nickel. For the internet configuration, please set your computer monitor to display both the digital and Echolink programs at the same time. Now, obviously, resizing will be necessary so you can get both of the programs showing on your monitor. Now, set your computer playback audio level to about 50%. You don't want to overload the digital program, or you're going to get distortion and so on and so forth, and the bits and the bytes are not going to be doing their job. So set, for starters, at about 50% on your audio level for the computer. Select and make your recording the mixer, and set the mixer output for 50% also. Now, for this next setting, you will need to be running your Echolink program in sysop mode. Now, that's either a dash L or a dash R. If you have not been assigned these call prefixes, go to your help file on the Echolink program and register for the assignment. It's as simple as that. When in sysop mode, select sysop settings, and then under the... Now, this recording is going to be something you can refer to after the program, obviously. But in the sysop settings, you want to activate your Vox, enable your Vox control. And the reason, the way this works is when your digital program is transmitting, excuse me, the audio from this program will open up the Vox on your Echolink program, placing Echolink in the transmit mode. So, with all of that said, at this point, you're about ready to go, and we strongly recommend at this point that you connect to the Echolink test server, make sure your system is set correctly to both transmit and receive data, and then obviously have fun. So, let's see here. I'll buy a nickel time. Before opening this session for comments or questions, allow me to play for you a short sound file that will give you an awareness as to how these different modes sound on the air. And if you'll just give me a second here to get configured, we'll get started and you can hear what it sounds like.
I'm Craig Bass, a kindly enthusiast, George made me say that, interested in railroads, geocaching, and super radars, who has agreed to provide links to my research for NO70's presentation. I hope you enjoy today's TIN.
Well, I sure goofed on that one. Sorry, guys. I could have sworn I picked the right file here, but it didn't come up that way. Let me try it one more time. That was one of George's TINs, that file that just played, and you don't want to listen to that one. Let me see. Okay. I think I found it. Let's give this one a try. Stand by one and put your ears on. PSK-31. MFSK-16. RTTY. CW Morse code. Okay, that's what it sounds like, ladies and gentlemen. At this point, I'm going to turn the program over to George, N-O-7-O. And, George, you might want to take a quick check of the audience, see if there's any other questions before you proceed into your segment, sir. And thanks for being with me tonight. KY6V to N-O-7-O.
KY6V and the Thursday TIN, all stations connected, along with W4RFJ. And, of course, you just recording KY6V. This is NO70. So, I think Gordon is doing a very good job in taming that frog. So let me take his suggestion. Does anyone have any questions, comments, observations, inputs, thoughts regarding what you have heard so far from Gordon's part of the presentation and Gary's part of the presentation as well? If anyone have any comments, please call NO70. Over. And nothing heard. Do we have any bashful? No, there are not any bashful people on this. Anyway, I do see some old friends that are in have popped up in the box as well. So I want to say welcome to them as well. All right. So we're going to then continue the topic tonight about digital signal processing and the different modes as well. For my part, I'm going to be focusing on, and also along with Chief W4RFJ, some of the other modes in a very high level, passing by a little more of the historical context. Some of you may be familiar with some of these protocols from your ham radio experience, some maybe not so much more. So this part of the program is hopefully an idea to give a frame of reference, both historical and current operations, along with the help from Chief Roger W4RFJ. So let me say then that a large part of the information that I'm about to provide does come from my operating experience using digital methods since I became an amateur radio operator, and I've heavily drawn upon that experience, but also portions of my information comes from a very good explanation of many of today's amateur radio digital modes at the digital-modes-club.org website, and also from the displays and history contained at the National Electronics Museum in Linthicum, Maryland, located right next to the Baltimore-Washington International Airport. Additional material is from online encyclopedias, including Wikipedia and others, and I do wish to provide credit for their material that I've used in my remarks here as well. So let's go on with the module one of about eight modules that I have for you, with Chief contributing in here as well. I'm going to turn it over to him for parts of it. Module 1, CW, Morse code, clicks, clacks, beeps, and bloops, and feeling all warm and fuzzy in the shack. All right, what does fuzzy have to do with it? We'll come to that in a second. All of these digital modes do share one core characteristic. They are binary in the nature of their signal. Digital signal processing converts audio tones into digital on-off conditions, or bits. You know, you've heard about bits with computers. Well, we're talking about bits on and off conditions. Modern 32 and 64-bit sound cards, which are required to, for use in these digital modes, do provide the translation with a lot of extra capacity on the sound card, since they have 32 and 64-bit configurations. The oldest CW, or more fully continuous wave, or Morse code, is on or off. The on and off tone, or click in the case of early Morse, that relied on a rhythm of clicks over the rail lines or wires, rather than tone for the on and off, for the on and silence with off, are all on or off conditions known today as a bit. Now let me repeat that, please. So for Morse code, some of the early Morse code was transmitted just by opening and closing a circuit by the pressing of a key. And what would happen would be that the key at the remote end or a detector actually would click, 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 click. And the code was being transmitted by the rhythm of the clicks. You did not hear a tone like we hear with today's Morse code on the ham bands. The tone, of course, when you close the key or push the little Morse code sliding bar over to tune your rig, then you're creating an on condition, which sends the tone. And if you're in an off condition, no tone is sent. So you have an on and an off condition, which would be with a tone or without a tone. Of course, since we're talking about bits, whether being on or off, modern computers use a sequence of bits to form a byte, which then becomes a kilobyte, and then a megabyte, then a gigabyte, and up. And that is the relationship between digital signal processing and your computer in a very superficial way. Now, we also know that a byte may contain a different number of bits. Some may be 4 bits, or 8, or 16, or 32, or 64. These number of bits in a byte are related to how many gates are installed in the integrated circuit. And I would like to invite you to refer to the SouthCars Extra Class course recently posted online for more information about the gates in a semiconductor and how they affect the number of bits and bytes in a computer circuit. Let me reset the link. So let me now put into perspective my comment about feeling all warm and fuzzy in the shack as you use Morse code. Fuzzy digital signal processing modes require additional human processing by brain, hand, or other human methods to be involved. Fuzzy methods would include Morse code or CW, HF fax, SSTV, and another protocol which you may want to be aware of the name of, although we're not covering it so much tonight, is the Hell-Schreiber, which is named after Rudolf Hell. The Schreiber part of the name refers to the act of writing, and his name refers to the writer mode. So Rudolf Hell gave us the Hell-Schreiber mode. So that mode prints each line twice in the mode, where each character is printed as an image rather than a letter, and any signal-to-noise degradation is overcome in the second printing pass as the pattern of the letter is formed. So we're getting close to digital printing, and you possibly could, by extension, say, oh, that almost sounds like the beginning of 3D printing. Getting close, maybe, with that. All right, let me reset. So let me come back then to the selection of Morse code in FLDigi. If you're going to send or receive the Morse code, and remember that Gordon talked about the automatic keyers and how the automatic keyer had difficulty keeping up with the fuzzy mode of his father's Navy code swing, which would have a lot of personality and be a lot more fun to listen to, I think, than an automatic keyer. Then if you do decide to receive in the CW mode in FLDigi, it will need a automated CW input, most likely. When you open FLDigi, you will see up in the file menu an op mode pull down, and you will select CW from that pull down. You will then see CW appear in the very bottom left button on FLDigi, and that button is inactive. It is display only based on your selection in the opcode pull down menu. So what we have just beginning to start looking at each of these modes. We've talked about CW, Morse code, on and off conditions, bits and bytes, bits leading to bytes, and why particular modes require additional processing, being fuzzy modes, like Morse code and HFX and SSTV. So now that we've gotten to this point about Morse code and CW, let me ask for any questions, comments, any of your experiences in your Ham Radio Shack regarding this. Any comments would be very welcome. Please call N070. Over.
KC2RMO with a bunch of stuff to say.
KC2RMO, thank you, Gary. Over to you, N070.
Hey, thank you, George. Couple of things. You know, for the great breakdown there of how it all comes together digitally. It's such a different world, you know, when you're operating this way, that you kind of forget that you've got this wonderful fusion of a computer and a radio device. It's really amazing what happens when they come together. You had said something earlier, and I can't remember exactly what it was, but it made me think. We're talking about a whole bunch of different modes. I think probably the most popular, the one that people are going to embrace immediately, is PSK31. And there's a great, there's a guy on the web, on YouTube, K7AGE, guy's name is Randy, and he has a phenomenal tutorial on PSK31. If you've got the software, he can get you on the air in about 15 minutes. He also has some terrific videos on YouTube. This is all on YouTube for other digital modes as well. Let me buy a nickel. So there's a great springboard for you. You know, great place to jump off so you can learn and get a little tutorial for it too. There are just so many different modes that are available to you. I think it's real easy for a beginner to kind of say, you know, well, it might be a little overwhelming for me, you know. I remember one time I was, it was when I went to get my extra, that's what it was. I was waiting for the scores to come from the VE, and we were out there, and some guy was talking to me, and he said, well, what do you like to do? And I said, well, you know, I like to work DX. I'm on 20 and 17 a lot. And I like to work digital modes. And I said, digital modes. And this guy, his eyes got big, and he almost fainted. It was just like, oh, my God, digital modes. They are nothing to be afraid of. Matter of fact, they're a ton of fun. So I would just maybe watch those tutorials from K7AGE, and you'll get an idea of what it's all about. Anyway, that's what I got for right now. We'll go back to you, George. This is KC2RMO.
KC2RMO, N070. And that's a very good observation, Gary, in that we're trying to keep this at it. I'm trying to make this a real superficial overview, including historical context, and it is a very intriguing and exciting part of ham radio operation to get to know more about it. And as if you're trying to troubleshoot signals or configurations, you know, you're going to be using this on a computer. So by having more information about how bits and bytes and computers and configurations work, will save you a lot of time and effort. And regarding the PSK31, thank you for your observation on that, Gary. I'm going to be coming up to more information about that in Module 4. We just completed Module 1. The other later modules are not as lengthy as the first one because we had to get into the relationship of Morse code through the higher levels to set the stage for PSK31. So I'd like to invite the members, if you possibly can, stick around for Module 4, which will be coming around sooner than later than you might think. So thank you, Gary. Are there any others with any comments on Module 1 and what we've covered so far with CW bits, bytes, and bloops and fuzzies? Please call NO70. Over. Okay, nothing heard. This is South Cars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Society, Thursday evening, Thursday informational net. We are discussing the topic of digital signal processing and modes tonight with KY6V, W4RFJ, KC2RMO, who has been involved with the beta testing, and I'm your host of the moment during this discourse tonight, NO70, and we're all sharing the podium tonight to hopefully communicate our enthusiasm to you and hopefully get you enthused into digital signal processing. So let's move on to Module 2, which deals with what Gordon opened up for us early tonight about radio teletype. And I just want to give a bit of historical information here, which you may find interesting and great for those Saturday night trivia games. So we're going to talk about teletype, ball dots, marks, spaces, starts, stops, New York City ticker tape parades, Christmas and New Year's parades, of which, by the way, if you look at the calendar, may be coming up pretty quick. Oh, my goodness gracious. Don't forget our Santa Express on South Cars. All right, the next oldest to Morse code is usually said to be radio teletype, or RTTY, also known by some people as ball dot, which is named after Mr. Baldo, and that's where the word bald comes from in modem speak. Let me reset the link. Now, RTTY has been used throughout the course of radio history, sometime during its history, to transmit stock market data to a printer in those business offices on Wall Street and other New York and other offices. And they printed the stock market quotes on a little single narrow strip of paper. Now, that single narrow strip of paper could also be repurposed for non-financial purposes. Maybe you wanted to send a message from one city to another. Maybe you were saying hello or sending a love letter or something to business or something to government, something which would be another topic entirely. That printing that you see appearing on your computer screen used to appear on a narrow strip of paper that had holes punched into them in a specific pattern for each alphabet letter. Now, that pattern on the tape would cause the start and stop bits in a pattern that represented that letter. A would have a certain pattern of stop and start bits, B and C. Those start and stop bits were also known as marks and spaces. Now, these strips of paper, interestingly enough, used to be thrown from the office windows in New York and other cities during parades like Christmas and New Year's. In modern times, the strips of paper are replaced by the audio tones Gordon described as the audio card signal processing that represents the marks and spaces or on and offs. Of course, modern office windows are sealed shut for security and other reasons, and teletype strips and graffiti have become a smaller and vanishing part of modern parades. You can see the mark and space frequencies in the waterfall display window in FL Digi when RTTY is the operating mode. If you recall, Gordon mentioned about the waterfall display and spectrum analyzer and oscilloscope, and you can actually see the marks and spaces, the frequencies in the waterfall display. So with that, that is Module 2. We're going to move on in just a second to the other modes. But before we leave radio teletype, which is probably a lot of experienced hams on this conference know something about, any other comments, observations, thoughts, I would love to hear them. Please call NO70. Over. Wow, with all the experience on here, I'm surprised there wasn't too much about RTTY, but we'll go ahead and move on here as well. All right, Module 3, let's talk about packet, which would be on VHF, HF, and we're talking about the differences in bandwidth and range. And I'm going to be calling on Chief W4RFJ to also help me communicate with this section as well, too. So he'll be coming in, and he and I are going to be alternating different parts of observations here as this Module 3 progresses. So packet radio is a frequency shift key, or FSK, mode that was very popular and is, I think, resuming some popularity on VHF radio, and is a node technology, N-O-D-E, where the packet contains a header with an address for the node that is to receive that packet. It's a party line, but that sniffs out whatever is addressed to it. Different packets for different nodes are then picked out of the stream, checked for errors, and finally accepted as the final information packet at the node it's addressed to, and that's how the conversations are kept separate when they're all in the same RF trunk line. All right, so let me turn it over to someone who's very familiar with packet. Chief, W4RFJ, let me turn it over to you for some more thoughts. So this is NO70. Over to you, please.
Good morning, everybody. This is W4RFJ, all hyped up in caffeine and coffee. And it might be a good idea to mention that packet is also used at some other different baud rates, such as 9600 baud on 440 and above. There has been instances of using 2400 baud on 2 meters. However, that's not the popular baud rate. 1200 baud is usually the most popular. The fact that the packet utilizes a 7-layer OSI model, it can utilize other protocols such as UDP and TCP/IP, which kind of brings it closer to what we would have done before, or what we did do before the internet. It is my belief that packet or AX25 slowed to a crawl because of the internet explosion. However, now that the routing technology is there, such as ROES, FlexNet, FPAC, NetROM, all those different protocols are coming together, and it's actually still off to a slow start, but there's people out there actually building networks in the packet realm. As more people get into the nostalgic and fun world of packet AX25 protocols are utilized within VHF and HF when participating in APRS communications. Now, APRS communications is like UDP on the internet. It utilizes unnumbered information frames of the protocol, such as what's used for beaconing your identification, and it's utilized to pass on lots of information, such as your weather, location, station information, speed, etc. And I'll turn it back over to George to pick it up, and we'll move on. W4RFJ, back to NO70.
W4RFJ, NO70. I want to mention that regarding packet, that VHF and HF packet have a reduced width, or HF packet has a reduced width and reliability, because HF packet is very subject to atmospheric conditions and the presence of errors resulting from poor propagation and also reduced bandwidth at HF frequencies. HF packet is really best used as a long-haul backbone as an alternative to the VHF channels that may not be available, and then you might use a long-haul HF packet channel, which, of course, would have a lot of application within disaster and emergency communications. Now, packet is very close to the building blocks of the Internet and the TCP/IP protocol. Before we move on to the PackTor part of packet, let me stop for any questions or observations first, and then we're going to come back to Chief for some more thoughts about PackTor. So before we move on to Module 3A of PackTor, let me ask for the net for any observations about packet, VHF packet, HF packet. And I know there must be some people with experience in packet out there. So please come tell us about your experience with packet. Please call, or any observations, thoughts you have. Please call NO70. Over.
KC2RMO, a little tidbit or two.
KC2RMO, and I said, very good thing. And let's see, Gordon, we see your, I see your note, no problem on the close. So KC2RMO, please go ahead with your comments. This is NL70, over.
Hey, thank you, George. You've made mention of it, and I wonder if maybe a little bit later on in the net you'll pick up on it or somebody will, but packet radio and digital modes in general are really a staple of MCONs. If you're doing any MCON work, it's really vital that you have at least a tacit understanding of the digital modes. It's a big deal. I'm not an MCOM expert, but I've certainly seen that referred to enough times that it's a valuable skill to possess and could come in very handy. So that was the one comment that I wanted to pass along. We'll go back to you. It's KC2RMO.
KC2RMO, NL70. And thank you for that comment, Gary. Yes, MCOM and digital signal processing and especially packet have definitely historically been hand in hand. I know that when I was helping to install a public service ham radio club station out in Flagstaff, Arizona, where my call is from, at the time we were installing it, the backbone was definitely with the packet, and we relied very heavily on that. There could be some very large, heavy accumulation snowstorms, bad winter weather at 8,000 feet above sea level in Arizona in the Flagstaff area. And we definitely, the community had been lacking for an adequate emergency communications backbone. So, yes, that definitely packet and digital fall right into that category. So thank you for that comment, Gary. Really appreciate it. I'd love to hear from anyone else who's used packet. Any observations? Thoughts now, please call NO70. Over. Nothing heard. All right, so in closing, maybe back up. We're going up to Module 3B about PACTOR. So for that, let me turn to the local resident authority, W4RFJ, Chief NO70. Over to you for PACTOR.
Okay, well, I wouldn't call myself an authority, but I have had experience with it. PACTOR has been around for a long time. I've only ever used it on HF. I don't think I've ever seen PACTOR used on VHF, but packet was more prevalent on VHF than HF. However, PACTOR is another form of digital communications that is grown in improving data throughput in the same limited space that is required for required or limited by FCC rules. The compression algorithm is strong and copy protected depending on the version of PACTOR that you're using. I do know that the WinLink systems utilize PACTOR, especially in the automated process of being out in the sailboat and being able to upload and download email through that system on HF, and also helps aid in tracking the sailboat while they're out in the middle of the ocean. Your GPS information can be sent off through that way too. So anyway, the point is that you can get a nice data throughput on an HF frequency and still stay within the bandwidth requirements. So anyway, I guess PACTOR, I'm not sure if that's a mode on FL Digi or not, but I'll pass it back over to you, George, and let you pick it up. Or maybe I should ask somebody for questions. Anybody got a question for me? Dead gummit, I'm supposed to be helping here. Please call W4RFJ.
KC2RMO, dead gummit, and PACTOR is a mode that's available in FL Digi. Back to you.
Okay, Big G, go ahead. Shoot with the question. I'm all ears.
No, Roger, it was just a comment that FL Digi is available, or Pactor is available on FL Digi. It's one of the plethora of modes that FL Digi presents.
Oh, okay. All right. Man, I'm all disappointed now. I thought you had a question for me. Well, that's all right, Gary. I appreciate you jumping and adding that. That's definitely a big plus. I'm going to have to check that out. But I had a thought that just left me just as quickly as it came in. Well, anyway, does anybody else want to chime in with a question or a comment on Pactor or Packet or whatever? Okay, I guess not. George, go ahead and take it away. I did my best.
Well, thank you, Chief. W4FJ and the Net NO70. And this, we're dealing with digital signal processing tonight on the TIN. And this is SouthCARS, the South Coast Amateur Radio Society, Thursday Informational Network. And we're talking about digital signal processing. We're finishing up Module 3A about Packet and Pactor. I just wanted to make one comment, and then we're going to move on to PSK31 in Module 4, which Gary talked about. Then in Module 5 is MFSK16. 6 is how to transmit and receive an image. Module 7 is the names of other modes. And Module 8 are a couple of thoughts about FL Digi. So we're moving right on down very quickly through the list here. All right, so when we are using FL Digi over Echolink, it is interesting that we are actually using a form of packet communications over the local computer network to make that digital signal possible that we are sending and receiving over the channel. In other words, our computer network using the ISO Model 7 layer is actually sending the communication, a form of packetized communication as well. So packet is all the way at the very bottom of the fundamental architecture. Okay, so let me reset the link, and we're going to move on to PSK31. So Module 4, PSK31, my question to you is, are you in phase with the digital universe? Okay. Now, we don't want anybody kind of phasing out here. We don't have that much longer to go. Don't go to bed yet. The best is yet to come on the TIN here. Phase shifting, PSK31, is accomplished, as Gordon said earlier tonight, by changing the phase of the signal against some internal reference with both phase conditions present inside a complex audio waveform that then, after the phase has been modulated and the phase shifted around, it is transmitted by modulating a carrier, and that might be SSB and HF carriers. Now, phase shift differs from frequency shift keying because the phase shift is contained inside a very narrow frequency range compared to FS key that requires a wider space between the frequency marks and spaces. Remember marks and spaces for Module 1? Okay. The frequency shift keying goes back and forth in frequency. The phase shift sits there inside a very narrow bandwidth and shifts its phase inside that part, and that's what causes the or makes possible PSK31 modulation. When you want to select PSK operation in FL Digi, then you would go to that same op mode pull-down up next to the file menu, select the op mode, and you'll see PSK. Then you're going to see options of 31, 63, 125, and other modes. And to use the 31 phase shift, you would select the one called BPSK-31, Baker Paul Sierra Kilo-31. And that is how you set up for PSK31 operation in FL Digi. So let me invite comments, and I'm going to first turn it over to Gary, KC2RMO, for comments, and then he can ask for other comments. We'll come back from Module 5 on MFSK. Gary, any comments, please, about PSK31 or selecting PSK31 and FL Digi for operation, please. KC2RMO in the group, NL70, over to you.
I'm sorry, did you call on me? I'm sorry. I was grabbing a cup of...
Yes, Gary, I was describing how they might select PSK31 from the FL Digi menu, and we talked briefly about the phase shift modulation form compared to FSK modulation form. And I know that you you mentioned earlier about your knowledge of PSK31, so sorry I I pulled a surprise on you, but I wanted to make sure during the question and answer session here to take advantage of your knowledge about PSK31. So do you have any thoughts, comments, particularly about how to activate FL Digi for PSK31 operation? KC2RMO for the in the South Car CIN, and NL70. Over to you, Gary.
I'm an old man. I can't take these surprises, you know. it's really, honestly, I think probably of all the digital modes that you probably the best place to start is with PSK31. If you're unfamiliar with digital stuff, it's probably the easiest to get into. And again, go to YouTube, just type in K7AGE and Alpha General Echo, you'll find a tutorial on getting set up with PSK31 in a program called DigiPan, which is a little simpler than FL Digi, only in that it is more limited in the modes. It's more dedicated. I think you only have three modes, I think, in DigiPan, and I think it's PSK31, CW, and honestly, I can't remember the other one, but it's pretty limited. It's a great program to begin with, but also it's a great, I think FL Digi is probably the better choice, because it gives you a chance to get your feet wet all the way through in all the different modes. You know, you say, oh, I like PSK31. What can Olivia do? And that's another great mode. Olivia is a phenomenal mode. It's one of those modes where you can get a lot of bang for the buck. And just to give you an idea, this is a sidebar. Let me just buy a nickel. If you're wondering what you can do with these digital modes. I have worked regularly all over the world with PSK31, Olivia, and JT65 with no more than 40 watts. And I mean, I've worked, I've got 25 countries logged, and I'm working on my next 25. The problem is you keep getting the same countries over and over again. You know, but it's just amazing what you can do with just a little bit of power. That's the beauty of it. But setup, the actual physical setup is really pretty easy. It's really self-explanatory. I would say DigiPan is a little bit easier to set up than FL Digi because FL Digi gives you more choices, particularly in the PTT. That's where you're going to maybe do a little trial and error. You can use digital modes, particularly PSK31, without a digital interface. I mean, you can get real down home and just hold the mic up to a speaker. You know, I've seen that done before. Or you can have a digital interface, and there's a lot of them on the market. I use one called the Signalink USB, which is popular and very easy. But depending upon the interface is how you're going to set up the sound portion of it. But it's pretty straightforward. So once you get into it, you're on the air pretty quickly, and the rest, as they say, is history. Back to the net. This is KC2RMO.
KC2RMO in the South Forest 3CTIN, NS70. And thank you, Gary. And you know, that's a good context for all the digital mode and operation. And I appreciate what you said. It really, digital signal processing is really very, very easy. Configuration setting up may take a few minutes, but it's a very pleasurable and easy mode of operation. We're trying to give you a little more context, including history here, but I hope that anyone listening will look past this and look to the fun and enjoyment of digital signal processing, or DSP, as Gary mentioned. Does anyone, before we move on to Module 5 and MFS K16, which is very interesting, including digital image, you can send pictures with it. Before we move on to that, let me ask if anyone else has any comments about PSK31 or their experience. Please call NO70. Over.
6, Victor.
Well, hello, Gordon. It looks like that frog baby is going to give you take a little vacation there. KY6V, NO70, over to you.
Yeah, well, this thing is swinging and swaying down here like a banana boat. It's ISP, input packet failures. I've looked at the infrastructure, and there are two major hubs that are in trouble right now, at least that are feeding me signals. And one has got something like a 25% packet loss, and that's exactly what I'm seeing. So I hope I can hold this transmission. I just wanted to add on to what Gary was saying, that he was addressing the interfacing necessary for your transceiver, your radio that you're going to be using for RF. The simplicity of putting this on Echolink is dramatically simple. You know, you turn on your Vox, you can comment on this, George, you turn on your mixer, and you start talking, you start sending pictures, you start having fun. And there's no tricks, no hoops that you really have to go through. Go ahead, George, KY6V, over.
KY6V, NO70. Well, the first thought that struck me, and it may be a little bit off the top point you were trying to make about configuration, in that we were talking about how packet communications is at the basis of an efficient computer network using Echolink. But then, obviously, if something is happening on the ISP backbone, something's wrong somewhere, I guess, in the configuration. So, gracious. Thank you, Gordon, for that observation. Any other stations with any thoughts or observations, please call NO70. Over. All right, nothing heard. So we are now going to move on to Module 5 of the 8. This is about MFSK-16, Mike Frank Ciarchilo. And this, I've subtitled, How's Your Frequency? Some of you may recognize the play of words to some contemporary urban slang. How's your frequency? Did your parent or guardian use a wide range of tones of voice with you when you wouldn't come to bed as a teenager or other age when the bands were hot? Okay, wide range of tones. All right. For more thoughts about MFSK, and before we get down to how to transmit and receive an image, we're going to go back to, again, to another esteemed reference source on South Cars, Chief W4RFJ, NO70. Over to you, Chief.
NO70 in the group. This is W4RFJ. And I got to tell you, it caught me reaching into the potato chip bag. Okay, to operate using MFSK 16, you have to select the op mode pull-down menu next to the file menu pull-down, and then select MFSK. And then from the pull-down menu to the right, select MFSK 16. To transmit an image, right single-click in the lower window pane, which is the receive pane, and select the send image. This will bring up a load image window. Select load and select the directory and then the picture to transmit. The larger the picture, the longer the time required to transmit. That's pretty much it with FL Digi, I think. using MFSK 16. Does anybody have any comments, changes, and or deletions? Please call W4RFJ.
KC2RMO, quick comment.
Go for it, Big G.
Hey, thank you, sir. You know, you talk about digital slow scan. We have a digital slow scan net here every Saturday night on 2 meters, and it's also simulcast on 6. We have it linked to the 6-meter repeater. But there is a hybrid mode that's available, not with FL Digi, but with a program called EasyPal, EasyPal, Echo Zebra Pal. Okay, it actually sends the header via radio, sends the image via the internet, which really speeds up the transmission time. So they operate this net in the hybrid mode. And it kind of threw a lot of people that are first-timers there because, you know, they have it all set to go over the air, not being aware that you can do that. But, you know, FL Digi is going to give you just strictly, you know, over the air. But there are alternatives to it that you can use if you really get into digital slow scan. So there you go. Back to the net. This is KC2RMO.
Okay. Well, Gary, thank you very much. And that sounds interesting. I know they've been doing a lot of digital modes and voice modes through the internet, just like they do with Echolink. I can't think of them right off the top of my head, and I'm not going to try. So, but anyway, I'll pass it back over to Mr. NO70 and let him get into Module 6, the esteemed George in Nottingham. Go for it, NO70. This is W4RFJ.
W4RFJ and the Thursday evening South Cards TIN, NO70. I have one last thought myself regarding the MFSK. MFSK's use of the orthogonal modulation that Gordon mentioned is what also gives the extra bandwidth or resources needed to be able to send images, and those images may be color or black and white. However, the additional encoding of the color information means that it will take longer to transmit the color image. That's important because we're going to move on now to Module 6 out of 8, where we talk about how to set up FL Digi to transmit and receive an image. Now, Gary was just talking about slow scan TV. In this case, I want to refer only to a static picture or image, something, you know, not a slow scan, but this is actually a form of a scan, but this is going to be a static image, and we're looking at the MFSK-16 variety. Let me reset the link. So to everyone to connect another net, what we have just talked about, what we just heard Chief mention, is how to begin the transmission of an image. You go in and pull up the load image window. Now, when you pull that load image window, I want to call your attention to 5 buttons displayed across the bottom of the window. If the window does not contain any of those 5 buttons at the bottom of the image, and that image takes up most, if not all, of your computer screen, those 5 buttons are being hidden off screen. This is something that took me by surprise, and I had to work with it to figure out what I was doing wrong. I had to close the window, edit the picture using an image editor, convert it to a smaller size, and then open a new load send image window. And then I had a window that had the picture I wanted to send and also the 5 buttons on it. Now, regarding the transmission time between color or black and white, or whether you want to send a color or a grayscale image, if you hover your cursor above the transmit color, XMTCLR, or the transmit gray, XMTGRY, you will see a little help tip little window come up that will give you the estimated time required to transmit that image, whether it be the color or the black and white. So if you hover your cursor above the Transmit Color Image button, you'll see the time required to transmit the image in color. If you move your cursor over to above the Transmit Gray button, then you will see the estimated time required to send the black and white image. Now, the transmit time will need to be less than the timeout of the connected servers in EchoLink unless you are on a direct connection with no timeouts selected. So remember that the SouthGuard servers and other service and repeaters connected have a 3-minute timeout, so your image will need to be transmittable in 3 minutes or less. That's why that hovering is important above the transmit button. If you're on EchoLink and you've connected directly with no timeouts in the configuration, then you can take as much time as you want to send a very larger and 10-15 minute color image as well. Let me reset the link and I have one more thought before asking for any questions. I want to mention to each of the NET members here tonight another problem that I found in trying to deal as a novice with FLDigi and sending the image. If you wind up clicking inside the image window by accident instead of on one of the buttons, I found that on my system that image will distort with a diagonal bar inside the range. It just gets scooched a little bit and a diagonal bar appears inside the image. So to fix that and have a decent picture to send, I had to close the window and start again with a right click inside that receive window and then select the image again and reload the image. So if you get a diagonal bar, simply close out and reload the image. So before we move on to module 7 of 8, let me ask if anyone has any questions about right-clicking inside the receive window, selecting transmitting or receiving an image, and then ability to receive and finding transmit time. Anyone have any questions, comments, tales of your own experience, of your own problems in dealing with it? Please call N070. Over to you. All right, well, nothing heard. So we're going to go now to module 7, and I want to mention some names of other modes. Now, I'm talking a lot here, and I want to get into FLDigi download, so I'm going to pull a fast one on Chief. Hey, Chief, are you available to read Module 7 and then turn it back to me for Module 8 just so that somebody else is talking for a couple of minutes? Sorry about the short notice, W4RFJ N070. Is that okay with you? Over.
Well, I don't know. Should we vote on it? No, I'm kidding. Of course I can read. Let's see here. Module 7, names of other modes. Well, AmTOR, which I think is kind of fading into history, is a TOR category, which also includes PacTOR, PacTOR 2, and PacTOR 3, and also gTOR, a new fast Fourier, that's what it was. You're trying to mess me up with these words. Transform, Fourier Transform Technology, also known as an FFT mode, is throb and used multi-frequency shift keying. I'm sorry if that didn't make any sense. The multi-frequency shift keying is used in these modes. So how's that, George? Did I do okay? What's my score on that one? W4RFJ, back to NET Control.
W4RFJ N070, I think you did great. As you can tell, I love throwing these pronunciation challenges at you. Okay, anyway, and the NET, I'm sure, is aware of that. All right, let's move on to Module 8 of 8, and this is the SouthCars Thursday Information Network. We're talking about digital signal processing, digital modes, and how to get started, get your feet wet, quick and easy. And with some historical context, some grins you can think about with ticker tape reads for Christmas, and at the same time you're sending an image using modern digital techniques. Well, I'm talking about an overview. All right, Module 8, FL Digi, how to download it and install it. Now, I found some problems that I had to overcome in my shack here. And it's my desire to share with you a couple of the problems that I had and that I've heard other people say they had as well. And maybe this will help save you some time and effort if you have a similar situation occur. So when you try to download the FL Digi software, the software packet, it's possible that the FL Digi download, FL Digi program, will not unpack with the installation. I wound up getting every software but FL Digi. If that happens to you, then what you can do is select the Files tab in that download display, then go down and look for the FL Digi download and manually select it and follow the prompts to install. To avoid a lot of error messages in your log, even though you may not be connecting a radio rig, I recommend you also go ahead and download and install the FLRIG file as well, which is the rig control program, even though you're not going to be controlling a rig, because I found a lot of multiple error messages in the debug mode and some diminished performance of the FL Digi. So you just follow the prompts then until FL Rig is installed. Now, once you have FL Digi downloaded and installed in your system, please, I'd like to invite you to recall Gordon's instructions about entering your operator information in the configure menu, and then the operator menu selection where you, and this is all located on that file pull down up in the upper left corner of the FL Digi window. Put in your operator information, and then you should be good to go. Now, I recommend for you also, if you're going to be dealing with multiple modes, we've talked about multiple modes tonight. We talked about PSK, MFSK, RTTY, CW, especially when you're dealing with PSK, MFSK. FL Digi has a pretty neat feature that it will automatically adjust its operation to the mode that it hears. If you are receiving an MFSK transmission and then the other station switches over to say PSK, FL Digi will automatically switch its mode to that is being transmitted, provided that both stations have clicked the RXID button up on the pull-down menu line, but it's all the way over to the right instead of on the left. There's a little green indicator in that button that will become illuminated when it is active. When RXID is activated on both ends, the other station has to have it illuminated also, then the two will automatically adjust to the mode that is in use, whether it be PSK or MFSK. But again, for this feature to work, not only do you need to enable the feature in your receiver, but in addition, the station that you are tuned to needs to have the RXID feature enabled when it transmits. Now, another thought is when you get your FL Digi installed, as Gordon had mentioned, you can test using the Echo Test server in EchoLink. Let me reset the link here. And I would highly recommend this as your starting point after installing the software, because you can send to the Echo Test server and then get back whatever you send. So you can send a picture to it, get a picture back, you can send Morse code, you can type in text using PSK or MFSK and get it back from the Echo Test server. You can actually test the sending and receiving, because Echo Test repeats your transmission, and that makes it a very easy test bed, so that you have your configuration and your software pretty much ready to go before you go live with another station. Just be sure you have, again, as Gordon had mentioned, your link identifier set up in EchoLink for the -L or -R. And once you have that, your SysOp tools menu will be activated, and you can activate the Vox selection, which you will need to have activated so that your transmissions will go out live and not just sit there without transmit mode being activated. All right, that is Module 8 and the end of what we have prepared for tonight, except for feedback, communications, thoughts. And after 8 modules and Chief's comments and Gordon's comments, I know there must be questions. Please, let's make this a really good TIN. Please come back with any other thoughts, observations, questions, experiences. This digital signal processing is certainly important to all of amateur radio operation and for our hobby and skill. So looking forward to your thoughts, comments, questions, contributions. So let's have those come from all the stations connected now that would like to speak up. Please call N070. Over.
KC2RMO, got a couple of things.
KC2RMO to start with, and then we'll come to other questions after that. Thank you, Gary, you and your contributions tonight have been very much appreciated and very helpful. KC2RMO, N070. Over.
I keep thinking I want to get a vanity call. You know, it's so long, KC2RMO. But I've been KC2RMO forever, so I think I might just keep it. Anyway, FL Rig. You'd mentioned FL Rig. And that's a pretty good little program. The beauty of all this stuff is this is all free. This is all open source stuff. You know, the original iteration of these programs is in Linux. And then you get ports for OS X and for Windows. But FL Rig, I actually use that. I have an FTDX 1200, and it works very well with it. It's not this super elaborate interface that you're going to get with a ham radio deluxe or something like that, but it's a good basic little interface. And for those times when you want to just control the rig with a mouse, it's pretty cool. And what does it cost you, right? So a real good thing. One thing, too, and I kind of alluded to that just in the beginning there, no matter what platform you're running, there's an FL Digi that'll work for you. As a matter of fact, I've got it running across 2 Macs and 1 Windows 10 machine. And it works very well with all of them. Matter of fact, on one of the Macs, if you're a Mac user, you may or may not be familiar with this, but there's a layer you can add to OS X called Wine, and you can actually run many Windows programs natively in OS X without having to use Boot Camp or a virtual machine or anything like that. And I actually have both Echo Links actually running. I have Echo Mac on one Mac, and then I have Echo Link running under Wine, so I can have my choice. As a matter of fact, I'm talking to you on a Mac that is running Echo Link under Wine. So, but you can do the same thing with FL Digi. I have that setup running on another machine as well. Let me buy a nickel. So just the basics, you know, you don't have to worry so much about is it going to work on my machine, because it's pretty well going to work on everything. And if you give yourself a little bit of patience setting things up, and it's really not hard. I mean, it honestly isn't, especially if you're using an interface like a Signal Link or something like that. It's a piece of cake. You just plug it in and check off a couple of things in the setup, and you're good to go. And just there's nothing to it, really. It's not rocket science. And finally, RSID. What a cool feature. First time I saw that work, I thought, yeah, all right, this is very, very cool. The important thing is, though, don't Don't go thinking that it's not working. The other guy or gal has to have it set up on their end too. So if it's not working, chances are, you know, they just somebody isn't using it. That's all. So that's what I got. Back to the net. KC2RMO.
KC2RMO NO70. Thank you, Gary. And that's a good point. We cannot underscore enough the need for both stations to have that RXID green button eliminated so that automatic adjustment in mode will occur. And that makes it really cool and really nice if you're, say, copying a bulletin station or something, and it's almost a walk away and set and forget and come back, you know, just with one eye on it. It's a very helpful feature. So, all right, are there any other stations, please, with any comments, questions, thoughts? We've covered a lot of material tonight at a really high level, but I think it's a good setup for you to become active to digital signal processing. Any other stations, please come with your comments, questions. Call NO70. Over. All right, nothing heard. This is South Cars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Society, Thursday Information Network. We are just at the concluding paragraph now then. And looking back over this, I thought it might be helpful just to give you a bit of a glossary. I'm going to list a bunch of terms that you've learned about tonight so that you can then use this list of terms to go back, look at them for their current operation, look at them from history. You may even find some of these historical terms to apply during a troubleshooting session. So we've talked about PSK31, MFSK16, RTTY, CW, and then packet and PACTOR as a part of digital signal processing. Within RTTY, we talked about marks and spaces or on and off conditions. On and off conditions also apply to Morse code, which would give rise to the clicks and clacks of very early American Morse or what people may call railroad telegraphy. We have looked into how each of the on and off conditions are a bit, because a bit is defined as being an on or off condition in digital signal processing in the network or in our digital processing. So bits and the bits on and off then make up the bytes of how many bits in each byte, the 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, and so forth. And we have talked about the AMTOR, the TOR category, Fourier Transform Technology, FFT. We talked about multiple frequency shift keying, and we've also talked about FL Digi Download and a few tips, tricks, and techniques to use with that. Gee, look at what you learned tonight. Congratulations. You have really, as a Thursday night South Cards participant, put a lot of stuff on your amateur radio resume. Looks good on you. You look really good with it. All right. Any other thoughts, comments, or anything before I turn it over to Chief to close the net? One last call for check-ins, thoughts, comments. Any station, please come now. Call NO70. Over.
6, Victor.
Thank you, Gordon. KY6V, NO70. Over to you.
Well, thank you, George. KY6V here. Things have stabilized, at least for the moment. I would ask you in the morning when you have a chance, drop that recording of yours in the Dropbox. And I haven't listened to mine, but I'm sure that they're pretty bad in spots. Might save me a lot of editing. I wanted to mention when you were talking about Vox, you know, that makes things simple, makes them automatic, but you can do it manually. For instance, if you don't have a dash L or dash R, you could use your single station mode in Echolink and just, you know, push your push to talk button when you want to transmit your information, and then go back to receive when it's done. Now, it's a little bit of fussing and mussing, but it can be done. The other question I'm curious about, and I can ask Gary later if you want to close out, but the RX ID, I wonder how compatible that is with other software. If the other station is running FL Digi, then I, you know, it's a piece of cake. But what if he's running something else that may not have the RX ID? I guess you just don't use it, huh? KY6V, go ahead, George.
Gordon, that's a good question, and personally, I don't know the answer. Gary, can you shed any light on RX ID and other software other than FL Digi? Sorry about putting you on the spot again, but that's what I get paid the big, small bucks for. which in case anyone's listening, is a great number zero because we're all volunteer here. But so, Gary, let me put you on the spot. Do you have any information regarding Gordon's question about RX ID and other software? KC2RMO NL70, over to you, please.
There we go. Okay, this is KC2RMO, and I'm making those big retirement bucks, you know, stuff like that. RSID, it stands for Reed-Solomon Identifier or something like that. It is not proprietary, as far as I know, to FL Digi. And I wish I was on one of the working machines, the machines that are attached to the transceiver. Because I've got a couple of different programs on them, and I am pretty sure that it exists as an available option in DigiPan anyway, and probably Ham Radio Deluxe too. So my guess is that it's not a proprietary thing. So it's probably available in many different softwares. I think you're pretty safe in saying you can get it just about anything. But without having the specific program in front of me, I couldn't tell you exactly which one it is. But my guess is that it's DigiPan and Ham Radio Deluxe for sure. So back to the net. This is KC2RMO.
KC2RMO and the net NO70. Thank you, Gary, for that information. And I really do appreciate the resources that you have brought here tonight as well. All right. Are there any other stations that have used these digital signals, used RTTY back in the old days or current days, using the new model modes here? We would love to hear a little more about your experiences. Please call NO70. Over. Nothing heard. So I want to thank everyone for being a part of this Thursday evening information network on South Cars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service server and associated repeaters and links. I want to, again, congratulate you. The knowledge that you have picked up tonight or reaffirmed of your experience looks really good on you. And for expanding your amateur radio resume tonight and spending this time with us, you as amateur radio operators, as we all are, definitely are to be congratulated for your effort and your time in developing and improving your skills by your participating in this collaborative conference that South Cars provides on the third Thursday of each month for the Thursday Information Network. Now, with the upcoming holidays, there will be a couple of changes to the TIN schedule, so you may find more information on voip.southcars.com, and you will see the upcoming net schedules posted on the website. We also would like to invite you to feel free to email us at voip@voip.southcars.com, and we would love to have new members also express interest. Just send us your email address, and Kathy, K6SUN, will correspond back with you for any additional information and get you all signed up for the email list and upcoming information points. Who knows, might find a point of interest that you enjoy, and would love to hear from you as South Cars participants. All right, that is this Thursday evening, TIN. Thank you, each and every one of you, for being here. And with that said, I'm going to turn it over to Chief to tie the ribbons on it, any thoughts he has, because he is very much involved with this South Guard's digital processing. And I want to thank Chief for also being here and his contribution to the program, and also for Gary for his contributions, and Gordon as well. So, hey, Chief, do you have your red ribbon ready and your scissors and any other accoutrements necessary to tie the ribbon on it, please? And maybe you could even tie it around the old oak tree. W4RFJ, NO7O, over to you.
All righty then. Well, it's been a great pleasure for me, and it's always good to hear my South Cars family coming back at me. And anyway, so this has been South Cars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. VoIPnet schedules and general information may be found on the voip.southcars.com website. I'd like to acknowledge the NCSs tonight. First on the top of the list was Gary, KC2RMO. Did I get that right? KC1RMO. Well, I really messed that up. Hold on a second. I know it's in here somewhere. KC2RMO. I got it right the first time. Okay, and of course, George, NO70, and I know I'm getting blasted for that. And, of course, the captain in his captain's chair down there in sunshiny Florida, KY6V. Excellent job, gentlemen. Your net control for this session has been all of the above. Saying 73 and closing this VoIP session, thank you for your participation. This net is now closed because I really don't have any other comments. W4RFJ returning back to amateur use. See ya.